So this morning we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And that's mainly where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about sin, which is my favorite subject. I'm joking. It's not. And a little bit about repentance. But before we get in, you know, I was thinking about this, and this will lead right into the passage, but sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Can we be honest? Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. And sometimes you want the truth. You think you do, but you don't really. Do you know what I mean? Like, you like the idea of the truth. You want to be known as someone who loves the truth, embraces the truth. But really, as human beings, oftentimes we buck it, we resist it. You want the truth, but we can't handle the truth. Why? Because we hate being wrong. Am I right? Like, that is so foundational to who we are as human beings. We like to be right all the time. All the time. Just ask me. I like to be right all the time. And I hate being wrong. And I hate it when other people tell me I'm wrong. Even if I am wrong. Even when I already know that I'm wrong. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, let me just sit here. I'm happy. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be told that I'm wrong, even if I know that I'm wrong. And this is very much part of our sin nature. When Adam and Eve fell, when they made that first break, when they ate the fruit, it wasn't just a fruit. It was a theology. It was a thinking. It was a choice that I can be like God. I can determine my own path. I know what's better for me. And it's a break away from God. And that's what that was. It was a thinking that I can make my own decisions. I can be like God. I can chart my own course. So that is very core to who we are as human beings. Regardless of where we are, what season in life are, I know I'm always shocked with my little babies when they start doing wrong things. Like, where did you learn that from? I didn't teach you. What do they see that on TV? No, it's in them. It's in them. Just this fight against the truth. So we like the idea of the truth, but it's hard to hear sometimes. And not only that, it's hard to change. As human beings, it's hard to change. You know, like, we like the idea of change and doing things that are different and right, but it's hard. So right off the start, before we even jump in, I want you to know that this isn't easy, you know? This is hard. But that's okay. That's how it is. But God is good. And the truth is good. So I'm going to pray and then open the Word. We're going to jump in. God, thank you for the Word of God that is living and active. I thank you for the truth. I thank you that you are the truth. Jesus, thank you that you said that you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And no one comes to the Father but through you. So Jesus, we love you, that you are the truth. God, I ask that truth would reign in this church. I ask that truth would reign in our city. I ask that truth would reign in our homes. God, we love the truth. But God, give us hearts that are willing to receive truth as well. God, open this Word this morning. Help me to speak this. Help us to hear this. God, we need this, Lord. So we just give this to you. Have your way this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 7. We're going to start in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 7, 5. This is Paul writing to this church that was in Corinth. He says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he comforted by you, which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. For even if I made you grieve by my letter, I did not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a little while. As it is, I rejoice. Not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourself innocent in this matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for your sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are comforted. Amazing, huh? I want to kind of jump you into this story so that we can kind of understand the backdrop to what's going on there. So Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and this was a real church in a real city. This really happened. This isn't a fairy tale, you know, that people are writing about make-believe things. This really happened. This was a church that had a lot of problems, okay? This was a church that was off in every way, and 1 Corinthians addresses some of those problems, and actually there's thought to be another letter that Paul wrote to this church, rebuking them, reprimanding them, calling them out for their stuff. And Paul actually visited there at one time, and it was not received well. He went and he was speaking to them, and it was not a happy time. They were not hugging each other, high-fiving each other, saying, "Thank you for coming, Paul." It was not a good situation. So things were bad, and the church had a lot of issues. And Paul, as a shepherd, as someone who loved the church, who loved the body of Christ, was coming to them, not because he loved conflict. Man, I can't wait to jump in this drama. No, he loved Jesus, and he loved the truth, and he loved the church. And for that reason, he was addressing the elephants in the room and calling sin what it was and calling them into repentance and calling them to turn from what they're doing and turn to Jesus. They're walking the wrong way. And like I said, they weren't very happy. And their relationship was actually affected a little bit. They weren't on good terms. The people didn't like Paul. And there was actually people that started bad-mouthing Paul. You know, so there was the drama, there was the tension. And not only that, people were jumping in and calling Paul out and isolating him and saying, "Get rid of that guy," whatever. So that's what Paul's walking into. You know, feeling faithful to what God was calling him to do, but it was not turning out so well. But you need to know this, that this was the ministry that God had called Paul to. And beloved, this is the ministry that the church is called to, that we would be people of truth, you know? Knowing that sometimes the truth hurts, knowing that sometimes the truth isn't always embraced because we always buck it. But that's the ministry that Paul is called to, knowing that there was going to be great opposition. You know, right when Jesus called Paul, he said, "There's going to be a lot of opposition. You're going to suffer for my name." And beloved, we are part of that call as well. You know, like being a Christian isn't just heaven someday. We are ushered into a great opposition to the truth. Not everyone wants to hear the truth. But at the same time, there is going to be great things happening in the name of the Lord. There were going to be people who are going to respond to the truth. There are going to be people who are going to be set free by the truth that releases the bonds of captivity. You know, like this isn't about having a right answer. This is about life and death. Do you see? Like, that's why this is a big deal. The truth is a big deal because it sets us free. You know, so this wasn't about Paul wanting to be right. This was about truth that comes from God. That's the great chasm between death and life, and being people who are about the life so much that we talk about truth. So he was feeling discouraged because those relationships were marred, because of this heavy letter, because he was faithful to what God had called him to do. So life goes on, and he finds himself in Macedonia, and in the beginning of that passage, it talks about just that weight. There were fighting going on, and there was fear in here. Have you ever felt that? It's like outside, there's all kinds of drama going on. There's all kinds of fighting and tension. And not only that, but inside, I'm fighting fear. Sometimes that's the greatest challenge, what's happening on the inside. So Paul really is, he's having a tough time. I don't know if you can see that. But he's not on vacation with his feet kicked up. He is feeling this. And Titus brings back a report to Paul in this place of just feeling heavy. Like nothing's going right. Nothing's going well. But Titus comes with this report from the church in Corinth. And Paul says that it's like God is comforting him. God is comforting him with this news that they are receiving the truth, and they're not distancing themselves from Paul, but they're actually thankful that he gave them the truth. It says here, you know, but God who comforts the downcast. Isn't that so good? God who comforts the downcast comforted Paul in his time of need with the people who are embracing the truth. You know, one thing I think about Paul, sometimes I read him and I was like, I have nothing in common with this guy. This guy is a stud. He just does everything how he should. And there's never any struggle. I feel like I have struggle sometimes to follow God. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes there's struggle. It's hard. And I look at Paul and I was like, what a courageous guy, you know? Like, he does all these crazy things. Even if there's pain involved, he just does them. But you need to know that Paul was very human, just like you, just like me. He had emotions. He struggled. But you know what? He was obedient when God called him to go. He was willing to count the cost. So this is the struggle that he was having. But God encouraged him because this church was finally coming around, finally receiving the truth and turning from it. So verse 9 says this, as it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, okay? So the church was grieved. It hit them. There was sorrow because of the things Paul was saying to him. So I'm happy, not because I ruined your day. I rejoice because you were grieved into repenting. That's why I have joy. You were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. So he's saying you guys were seriously hurt and wounded by the strong, piercing words that I gave you from God. But do you know what? I am so happy. I am so happy. Not because it was hard for you, but because that pain, that grief that you felt led you to repenting, led you to actually turn around and receive that truth and turn away from the things you were going to and turn to Jesus. So there's no loss. There's no loss. There's no loss. You see, sometimes it feels like a loss. You talk about the truth, and it doesn't go well. There's not a response. There's pain. There's hardship. You get opened up. You get revealed. You see all the junk, and it's just hard. But Paul is saying, you know what? I have no regret that you were mad at me for a little while. I know you were ticked at me, but it's okay. I'm glad you were ticked at me. Do you know why? Because you actually turned around to God. And I am so thankful that I was obedient, first of all, to God, and that you are responding to this, even though it was hard. This theologian says this, in sin, the pleasure passes, but the sorrow remains. But in repentance, the sorrow passes, and the pleasure remains. Is that interesting? Let me say that again. In sin, the pleasure passes, it's fleeting, but the sorrow remains, the guilt, the shame of it. But in repentance, the sorrow passes and the pleasure remains. See, this is part of the Christ life. It's not just signing up for heaven and just continue on as you are. The very first step into the kingdom of God is called repentance. And repentance is talking about changing your mind, changing your direction, having gone this way to actually change directions, to think a different way, to believe a different way, to act a different way, and turn to God. And beloved, repentance is the journey to God. Do you see this? It's not just something you say and like, oh, I repented. Repentance is the turning to God. It's this constant turning to God. It is the journey to God. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Repentance is what the kingdom of God is all about. You know, like sometimes I always hear this. I don't know if it's true. I don't know what you guys think, but repentance is like this. What is that? You know, it's not always talked about, and if it is, it's a little harsh. It's got a little edge to it. But you need to know that John the Baptist, when he started ministering, so here's this prophet of God sent to prepare the way for Jesus. Do you know what his message was? Repent. Repent. Someone is coming. The Messiah is coming. Make your life come over to God. Stop what you're doing. Turn to God. The Messiah is coming. The promised one's coming. And Jesus, when Jesus started his ministry, do you know what his message was? Repent. That was the first word of his ministry. Repent. Turn around. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in your midst. So turn around, change the way that you're thinking, change the way that you're acting, stop going that way, and turn to God. So this weird word is the word from Jesus' ministry. And beloved, it's still the word. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you first repent, turn. And beloved, it's not just something you do once. Like I said, this is the journey to God. You see, there's this song that says, prone to wander, Lord. How does that go? That's prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Is that it? You know, like just this like, you know, we love God. We want to follow God. But there's just this thing in us that likes to wander. And God's always inviting us to turn back, turn back, turn back. Turn back. So Paul is so thrilled that even though they were sad, they were grieved, it made them repent. And then it says, he talks about this, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. I want to read another translation just to kind of, this is the New Living Translation. It says this, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. So there is a difference. So we all experience sorrow when we do bad things, right? We know it's bad. We feel it. We feel the weight of it. We experience sorrow. We know that it's wrong. But the difference is how you respond to that sorrow. See, worldly sorrow feels sorrow in the same way, but their response is, I feel bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And life goes on. Nothing changes. Do you see that? Worldly sorrow is like, that's it. You feel it, you experience it, you respond to it, but nothing changes. Beloved, this is not what it is to follow Jesus. And when we sin, it's not enough to say, sorry, my bad, and life goes on. It's godly sorrow is this, that there is wrongs done. We do feel sorrow. We feel sorry for what we've done, but the difference is repentance. It's repentance. And worldly sorrow leads to spiritual death. You go to the prison, you talk to people, do you feel bad about what you did? Probably hear a lot of people say, yeah, I feel sorry for that. And? Yeah, I feel bad. Do you see what I mean? It's empty. and it leads to death. But godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leaves no regret. In fact, it's our salvation. Isn't that amazing? So, beloved, I want to invite you. We all experience sorrow. We all fall short. We all trip. We all fall. We all mess it up. If any of you have any friends or relationships or family, this happens. This is part of our life. The big question is, what do you do with it? How do you respond? Do you feel bad? My bad. And you keep on going your way? Or do you repent? Do you turn? I'm not going that way anymore. That's what godly sorrow produces. It's a sorrow that comes from God and moves us into action and not apathy. And guys, if I'm honest, I know what it's like to have worldly sorrow, where you just apathetically feel sorry. I'm sorry. Do you know what I'm talking about? But sorrow comes from God leads to repentance. Godly grief produces something. This is so unbelievable. Unbelievable. It produces something. There is fruit from it. There is a result from it. There is life. And it says that there is no regrets. Here's the beauty. There can be wrongs done, but to have godly sorrow, you're never going to regret it. Do you see that? You are never going to regret turning to Jesus, admitting your fault, admitting your wrong. There's no regrets there. It's like it's done. It's like as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed it from us. There's no regrets. But worldly sorrow leads to death. Why? Because you sit in it. There's no salvation. It's yours. That sorrow's all yours. Good luck with that. You know? But godly sorrow leads to repentance and leads to salvation. It's our life. Do you know what godly regret is like? It is like the pain of a disease. It's like feeling something is wrong. That's the gift of godly sorrow. You know, worldly sorrow will band-aid the pain. You know, painkiller, take care of that. But godly sorrow is this exposing of pain so that you get yourself healed. Do you see the difference? Godly sorrow is, okay, let's deal with the issue, not the symptom of pain. Sorrow is just the symptom to the matter of the heart that God wants to fix. And that is through repentance. Repentance, a change of thinking, a change of direction. Spurgeon says this: people seem to jump into faith very quickly nowadays. I believe. I do not disapprove of that happy leap, but still, I hope my old friend repentance is not dead. I am desperately in love with repentance. It seems to me to be the twin sister of faith. Is that good? I desperately am in love with repentance. I've never said that before, you know? But as soon as I read that, I was like, wow, God. May that be true about me, that I would love repentance. It wouldn't be this last resort thing, like, I guess I have to. If I need to get past this, I have to. But I would love repentance, knowing that it is the twin sister of faith. This goes together. This goes together. It's part of the Christ life. So, godly grief produces repentance, which leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief just produces death. But then he says, for see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you. See, it keeps producing. It keeps producing. There's earnestness. There's an eagerness to clear yourself. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourself innocent in the matter. Here's the deal. They weren't innocent. That's why they were called out. But to walk this road of repentance, to turn to God, to receive it, and to respond, to feel that godly sorrow that doesn't leave you in a place of shame and sitting in it, but leads you to repentance where there's no regret. It keeps producing things. This earnestness to God, this freedom from sin, this zeal for the Lord. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Beloved, don't be afraid of sorrow for sin. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Do you hear that? Embrace the pain of sorrow when it comes to the truth. Because like I said, we like the idea of the truth, but sometimes we can't handle it. You know, fight it. I like the idea of truth, but don't mess with me. There's this, I heard a speaker say this, there's this old hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." But so often the experience is, "Take my life, but let me be, leave me be." You know what I mean? Here's my life, God, just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. But here I am. Do you know what I mean? We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We give our lives to him. We surrender. This asks of us that our prayer, that our intent continues to be, "Not my will, but yours be done." And by that very confession, there's this openness to speak truth to me, Jesus. Speak truth to me. I want the truth. I want the truth. Even though sometimes it hurts, because sometimes it outs me. You know what I mean? It affects all of us. Worship team, you want to come up? I have two responses. And the first is this: to be willing to accept godly sorrow. Be willing to accept godly sorrow. We don't like this, so we band-aid it, we dodge it, we avoid it. But be willing to accept the sorrow of knowing that you're wrong sometimes, knowing that there's sin. And like Spurgeon says, fall in love with repentance. Love it with all your heart. I love seeing where I'm wrong and turning back to God. So, beloved, some of you need to come to that place where you're saying, "Okay, I'm willing to even feel this. I'm willing to feel this. I'm willing to feel the sorrow and sit in it, to grieve as you are grieved for this sin and turn to you." You know what I mean? So this morning, you might even be coming with some stuff that you've been trying to doctor up, you know, numb it, because you don't want to enter into it. And I'm inviting you through the Word of God this morning to enter into the sorrow of it, so that you would be grieved into repenting, that it would lead you somewhere, not just to feel it, but to feel it so you can respond to the Lord in it. So some of you need to accept godly sorrow, cling to it. But there's this other side. God help me to say this. Some of you need to be willing to speak it. Some of you need to be willing to speak truth, knowing that it's going to cause godly sorrow to someone else. It's true, but they don't want the truth. Do you know what I mean? It's true, but I don't know how they're going to respond to this truth. You know, Paul was obedient. He counted the cost, knowing that it might mean these relationships that with people that he loved. People that he loved. He knew that that relationship might be broken because of the sorrow that would happen, because God was telling him to speak into the sin in their life. So, beloved, as people of God, we're people of the truth, And part of walking together is even in this. That we don't just, you know, like that guy, that girl, like there is sin there that they're not willing to handle. And as the people of God, we need to be willing to speak into those things. Now, here's the deal. This is not a license to sign you up for the sin police. Do you know what I mean? I know people like that. I've been a part of that. And that is not of God. But when we walk with the Lord, sometimes He calls us into conversations of truth where light shines in dark places, and that we would be willing to count the cost and be faithful to the truth, to follow Jesus into it. That we'd be people who speak the truth in love. And therein lies the difference. If you can't honestly love someone, have your purpose, your intent behind it being love, you have no business speaking truth to them. Do you hear me? If you don't love them, if you're not grieved over this, knowing that it's going to grieve them, if you don't grieve because of that, you have no business speaking that truth to them. Do you see Paul? Grieved. I love you. Because I love you, I'm going to say this to you, even though I know it's going to hurt you. But my prayer is that this pain that you feel will lead you into repentance. That leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Amen? We're going to close in worship. And the Word of God always causes a response. You can choose to ignore it, but this calls for a response. What is it? What is God speaking to you about? As we worship, I want you to be honest with the Lord. And Bill, I'm going to ask you to be in the back. I'll be in the back as well. And if any of you need prayer, maybe you're carrying a sorrow. I need to repent from it. Or I don't even want to, but I know I should. You know, let's pray. Let's ask God for this. We're going to worship, enter into the presence of God boldly, and let's ask the Lord for freedom in these places. Amen.